In your Bible, please, Daniel, the third chapter. Daniel, chapter 3. We have been looking at that great chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews that puts forth the great honor roll of faith. Those that demonstrated a dynamic faith. And our attention for the last many weeks has been on the prophets. We have been looking at the prophet Daniel. Third chapter. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And set it up on the plain of Dura, the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officers to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officers assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. Daniel is a prophet during the time of Israel's exile. About 600 years before the time of Christ, the nation of Israel has been taken captive and taken out of the place that God promised they would experience the prosperity and the protection of Almighty God. A place where they would bring forth a posterity, one through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that would bless all peoples. It looks hopeless. They are no longer in the land of promise. They are in Babylon. They will be there 70 years. While they are there, they will be under Babylonian authority for most of those 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. But they will also be subjected to the authority of the Medes and the Persians, Cyrus, and those that would follow, would bring continuous oppression on the people chosen of God to be His unique people on the earth. Most of the prophets before Daniel and after Daniel have a wake-up call for the nation of Israel. Their ministry and message is directed to the chosen people. Repent. God is righteous. He has called you into a righteous relationship with Himself. You belong to Him. Behave as one who belongs to the true and the living God. If you do not, you will experience the wrath of God. Judgment will come. Ruin. But the message of the prophets always was a message that culminated in hope. For there will be a restoration. God will fulfill. He is faithful to fulfill His promise to Abraham. Daniel, along with just a couple other prophets, have a unique ministry. It is not a wake-up call to the chosen people. It is a witness to the captors of the chosen people. They are in exile. Nebuchadnezzar has ravaged Israel. He has raped Israel. He has taken everything that they have that identifies them as a people belonging to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he has ruined it. He has taken their artifacts from the temple and placed them into the Babylonian treasury. A message. Your God has no power. I am in control. Nebuchadnezzar takes choice young people from Israel and brings them to Babylon that they might be assimilated into the culture of the Babylonians. And in order for that process to produce what Nebuchadnezzar desired, he stripped away anything that would identify them as to their connection with their God in Israel. Their names are changed. Names that identified them as belonging to the true and the living God, Jehovah. They're given new identities with names now that identify with the Babylonian gods. They are saturated with the culture and the religion of the Babylonians. In order for them to then become productive in Babylon, the choice young men are placed in an environment intense for 3 years to prepare them to serve in the king's court. You'll remember that Daniel resolves not to defile himself while he is going through this process. He makes a request that he not defile himself by eating of the food and the drink that was provided for them while they're going through this assimilation process. Of course, the one who is immediately responsible for their well-being is concerned, because if they don't look good, if they get weak, he could lose his head. And so Daniel requests, very wise, that a test for 10 days take place in order for those who are over them now observing their progress might see whether or not, by not defiling themselves, they would be acceptable to the king. We know that Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did just that. And at the end of those 10 days, they were in better shape, looked good, thought well, and thus were presented after the 3 years into the king's court. We find ourselves now with the king struggling with a dream, probably for a year. He doesn't understand what this dream is all about. He's troubled by it. Daniel steps up when all seems to be lost, because the king has made it very clear that he's no longer going to simply trust what his wise men have to say about dreams. He's gone down that road and they have led him astray in the past. This time, he doesn't tell them the dream. He wants them to tell him the dream and interpret it. The response, nobody can do that. Only the gods would know that. And gods don't dwell with men. Oh yeah, there is a God. The God of Israel, who dwells with men. And Daniel, with his prayer partners, they get together and they pray for insight as to this dream. And God reveals the dream. And in that second chapter, the master plan of Messiah is unfolded. The movement of history, his story, is unfolded. And Daniel places the major players of the movement of human history in place. Babylon, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. An empire that will come out from the Roman Empire, even more diverse and with greater impact. But not even that amalgamation of power will stand. A rock will destroy that authority on the earth, because that authority is the authority of man, not God. That dream is interpreted. The rock, hewn not by human hands, but from God, will destroy the final human effort to govern itself. And in so doing, usher in the millennial kingdom. The kingdom of God's Christ. The movement of the master plan of Messiah. And not a molecule in the universe moves apart from that master plan. We know that because when Daniel gets Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego together to pray, they give praise to the Lord who puts up authority and takes authority down, who is the one who is moving all things, orchestrating all things, marching them toward His kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar says, wow, you hit it. Your God has revealed that. But then he does an interesting thing. He says, you're the one who revealed all this to me, so I'm going to honor you. And he puts Daniel in the place of authority over all of the Babylonian kingdom. And Daniel then uses that position to put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in positions of authority. But we know, because in a relatively short period of time, Nebuchadnezzar honored the messenger, but not the message. I had an interesting experience years ago when we first came to Florida. We were called to be associate pastor of a very aggressive, large church in Orlando. And the pastor who had founded that church was a very dynamic personality. Interesting guy. I won't tell you his name, except his first name was Bob. I tell you that because the secretary of the church shared this testimony. She said, not only was I baptized in this church. I was baptized. And I heard that, and it shook me. But it is not unusual. People so often identify with the messenger, the dynamic personality. Even if the message that is being shared is from God, the attention goes to the man, the messenger. And we have ministries built on men. And when that happens, the message is often totally lost. That's what happened with Neb. I know him. I call him Neb. Because shortly after acknowledging, Daniel, you're the man, your message is right on, he builds an idol. It's like the idol in the dream. The idol that had him as the head, the goal. But it was an idol that would ultimately be destroyed. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I ain't buying that. I can alter what this dream says is going to take place. I'll build an idol to myself of gold. And I am going to show the world that I am in control. You all will come and bow before the idol. He's not even there. The dedication is set up. And all are brought to the dedication. Except the king. And, obviously, Daniel. He's not there either. But all the rest have gathered. And the music is played. And the instruction is given, bow down. And they all do it. Except those Israelites, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who along with Daniel earlier had determined not to be defiled by the worship of any other god except the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they do not bow down. And word is brought to the king. He's not there. He didn't see this. He calls in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, I'm going to give you one more shot. Here's how it's going to work. Verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, this is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the lyre, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of God that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whosoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 13. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, meek, but he spoke like a dragon, mighty. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. This is the counterfeit Christ and his prophet. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. Authority vested in man. This authority has great power. It is demonic power. His number is 666, 2 Thessalonians. Paul's writing to the church of Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day, the day of the Lord, will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of sin, the lawless one, is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He opposes and exalts himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, and even sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time? For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Paul is now describing the last days. He is describing the culmination of rebellion against God during now a time of God's wrath being poured out on all humanity. The time of tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble. A time by its very character and conduct is the replacement of the true and living God with the worship of man. The Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ. When the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming, that's the rock. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. That's how the evil one works. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. That's what's coming. That's what's coming in the master plan of Messiah that Daniel has unfolded to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar now is doing the very best he can to alter the conclusion, the climax of the ages. I will be in control. Bow down. Worship the image. Well, they don't. But this time, the Chaldeans told the king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego pay no attention to you, king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true? You do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, here's your last shot. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, that's good. But if you are not ready to do that, if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then that God will be able, what kind of God? What God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves. We have really no defense, and we're not going to make a defense. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us. He's able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. It's either going to be out of or through, but we are going to experience deliverance. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Come on over to Psalm 18. David's Psalm. Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Not only this announcement of his being the rock, the strength, the fortification, the rock is the Messiah who will crush all authority under his power. He is my shield and the strength of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. It's Psalm 71. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. Now back to Daniel. Verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army, tie up Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, their trousers, turbans, other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, wasn't it 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? Certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men. Walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of God, some supernatural personage. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 31. And Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He made a promise. I have a place. You're my people. You're going to prosper. I'm going to protect you. Your posterity will be to my eternal praise. And Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 41, Isaiah the prophet, and I'm reading from verse 8. As soon as I get there. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be nothing at all, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Back to Daniel, the third chapter. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way. He's almost there. Neb's almost got it. But what a declaration. Back to Psalm 31. Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord, my glorious one, who lifts up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lay down and sleep, I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the 10,000s drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God, for you have struck my enemies on the jaw. You have broken the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, my deliverance. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then, I will be confident. Psalm 37, verse 39. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. There is no God that saves like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. and the prophets, the prophet Daniel, is one of those men of faith, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who quenched the fiery flames, demonstrating a dynamic faith in the true and the living God. Father, we bow before you. There is no God like unto you. You have delivered us from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and ultimately from the very presence of all that is opposed to you. Until we experience fully that ultimate deliverance, we walk by faith, trusting the God who saves. And we thank you. Just remain prayerful. I'd like to share a testimony as we close our time together. Get a little drink. Often when my faith would falter, and his light I cannot see, I just lift my eyes to Jesus, and I whisper, pilot me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will still thy pilot be. Never mind the towering billows. Take my hand and trust in me. Often when my soul is weary and the days seem oh so long, I just look up to my pilot and I hear this blessed song. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will still your pilot be. Never mind the towering billows. Take my hand and trust in me. Thank you.
temptations round me gather, and I almost lose my way. Somehow in the raging tempest, I can hear my Savior say, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will still your pilot be. Never mind the towering pillows. Take my hand and walk with me."
That's all, folks.